Tonight's show, we're going to be discussing a rather sensitive topic because it can affect both our personal life and very much our financial life and business world. But the halachas of yichud are complex, they're very detailed. But again, the purpose of these shurim in the next couple of weeks, hopefully we'll get into more details, is not for any, again, my agenda here is not to render any halachic decisions. These are very, very complicated shailos and can get very uncomfortable both with family and with other people and at work. So again, my agenda here is not at all to paskin any shailas for halacha l'maisa. For that, one has to discuss with their own rav exactly what they should do. But more than we realize, these shailas come up. It's interesting. I can say I probably have gotten maybe 5 shailas of hilchas yichud in the last couple of years. People have asked everything else. You don't get a lot of yichud shailas. And I think the reason is because you can't always plan it out. Sometimes you just get stuck in a situation of yichud and it's too late to ask. However, there are many times where you could see it's going to happen. For example, for Ronnie, this is for you every single day, these yichud shailas. I think anyone who deals with that kind of a job where you go to someone's house, you got to be a bucky in hilchas yichud because you do these shailas every day. For those people who go to someone's house to work, whether it be electrician, whether it be plumber, you really have to be well versed in these halachas. It's funny, people think that yichud shailas come up a lot in the business world. And they do, there's no question they do. In my humble opinion, I think half the shailas in the business world are simpler because it's with goyim. It's a bigger problem for the people that are not in the business world, like yeshiva people, kailah people, when they're busy with babysitters and cleaning ladies and coming home in the middle of the day. The shailas are much more complex and they're much more difficult shailas. I was urging a kailah to learn hilchas yichud bi'iyan, a whole zman, to learn hilchas yichud. I think every kailah should have to learn hilchas yichud bi'iyan. I think it's so important for all those people that are dealing with babysitters in their home during the day, and the cleaning lady comes and they go to their in-laws' house, and all these shailas that we don't always realize can be some serious, very serious shailas. So again, hilchas yichud, I think we're going to try to do it in 2 weeks, but if we don't get to it, there's a lot that needs to be discussed beyond the scope of these shurim, but again, it's something that's very sensitive and one must handle with care. Where exactly is the source of this, the prohibition of yichud? Where exactly does it come from? So it's very interesting. If you look in the Mishnayos, in the end of Maseches Kedushin, it's not too far off from the Daf Yomi did a few weeks ago already. The end of Kedushin, towards the end of the fourth parak, is where this source of yichud comes up. Now it's interesting, if you were to look in the Mishnah in Kedushin at the end of the fourth parak, it doesn't start off Asur lehisyachid em isha. It doesn't start off like that. It starts off that a man is not allowed to be miyachid with two women. That's how the Mishnah starts. But the flip side would be okay. Then the Gemara asks, so what's the difference between that way and that way? Why is one man and two women different? So the Gemara answers, Noshim Dayantis Kalas. Okay, we're not going to get into that. That's too political for tonight, whatever that means. Then the Gemara asks, and this is where we start, the Gemara asks, Menani Mili, how do you even know yichud is prohibited? Who told you there's any prohibition of a man being alone with a lady? So the Gemara says like this, a very important Gemara, Kiddushin, Daf Pei Amid Bei. Zakti Gemara, Mishem Rebbe Shmuel, Remez liyichud min ha-Torah minayin. Where's the remez? Where's the hint to the prohibition of yichud in the Torah? Now those are some very alarming words, remez. Whenever you hear the word remez, you know we're not getting ourselves into a straight, open pasuk in the Torah. We're going to get ourselves somewhere in this very unclear understanding. But it's remez. Shenemar says in the pasuk, Yisizcho achicha ben imecha. When your brother, who is the son of your mother, will try to sway you. The pasuk is talking about amesis. He's trying to get you to serve avodah zarah. So the Gemara asks, v'chi bein ben amesis bein avein amesis? But only the brother from your mother is going to try to get you, not your brother from not a brother from the father? Why does the Torah write how he's your brother? What's the significance? El Eloi Malach is coming to tell me a chiddush. Bein misyachid imoy. It's coming to teach you that a son is allowed to be alone with his mother, but for asal isyachid im kol ra'isha b'Torah. But anyone else besides for a son with his mother would be prohibited. Where do you see that from that pasuk? Hashem Yirachim. Wow, that's amazing. That's a real chap. From a pasuk that's talking about a mesis, you somehow were able to pull out of that pasuk that there's a prohibition for everyone else to be alone except for a mother and a son. It doesn't say a father and a daughter. It says a mother and a son. So therefore says the Gemara, this is the source for the prohibition of yichud. Now the Gemara gets even better. The Gemara says, come on, really, who are you fooling? Poshta dekrab amai kasif. Says the Gemara, come on, what's the simple reading of this pasuk? Very nice, you found me this remez. Tell me straight, what's the simple reading of the pasuk? Amar Abaye, let me boy come. The Gemara means let me boy. Let me boy ben avdei sani lei. Of course, you're not going to go to listen to bad advice to do averus from a brother who's from your father's side. Why? Says the Gemara, the sani lei v'ayitz la'itzis rice, because he hates you. Why does he hate you? Because you guys are fighting for the Yerusha. So of course he's going to give you bad ideas. Of course he's going to tell you to do avoid the zara. He's going to tell you to do bad things because he wants you out of the picture so he gets more money. So of course you're not going to listen to him. Ella afilu ben aim deloy sanile. What about a brother from the mother? He has nothing to gain. He's not getting any Yerusha from the mother. So maybe you think you should listen to him. Kamash mili, don't listen to him. Now, why did I bring this Gemara down? I could have stopped before this. Because the Levush brings a raya from this Gemara that clearly this can't be deraisa. If this would be deraisa, why is the Gemara asking Pashta to Krabba Mike say, what's the simple reading of the Pasuk? I told you the reading. The reading of the Pasuk is to teach you the prohibition of Yichud. It must be, says the Levush, that the Gemara knows good and well this is not really the Pasuk that's referring to Yichud. This Pasuk is talking about something else. It's a remez somehow secretly hidden into this Pasuk. You're supposed to figure that out. But really, no way can this be what the Torah means. So that's a big discussion that we have to get to a little later tonight. Is the prohibition of Yichud deraisa? Is the prohibition only derabbanan? So you'll tell me, what's the difference? We keep the rabbanans and we keep the raisas. The answer is, what happens in the case of a suffik? What happens in the case of a machloikis apaiskim? Let's say it's a big machloikis rishayin, a big machloikis amaroyim in a certain case of yichud. So you have to ask yourself, if yichud is the raisa, you got to go to chumra. If yichud only be the rabbanah, so you can go to kula. So it's very important for us to really figure out what is the nature of the prohibition when we have all these, and we'll see many, many machloikisim and very issues, which way should we go? Should we go to chumra? Should we go to kula? In the lumdis of Yichud, so to say, one has to ask themselves, let's say this is the source of the prohibition, is somehow from this pasuk. What was the Torah worried about? Why is Yichud asr? So we'll say, of course Yichud is asr, because what happens? People are alone, they end up doing things they're not supposed to do. Maybe that's one side of the Chakira, that the reason for the Yisra of Yichud is if you're going to be alone with a woman you're not allowed to be with, it will lead to living with this woman, which is clearly against the Torah. Or maybe not. Maybe one can make the argument that the Torah wasn't only concerned with you actually living with her. Maybe the Torah was concerned you'll do chibuk v'nishuk with her. Maybe there won't be enough time to actually have a beer with her, but you'll do something that's also prohibited, at least for an Eishes Ish Midarais, according to the Rambam Shita. You guys can kiss, you can do other types of things, chibuk v'nishuk, which would also be an Issa Darais. So what were we concerned about? We were concerned if you're going to be alone, you're going to end up having a Maisa beer, or if you're going to be alone, you're going to end up doing something that's not a beer, but it's also something that's prohibited under the Torah law. What were we concerned about? So what's the nafkamina? The nafkamina would be, is let's say you're alone with not enough time to actually have a ma'isabiyah, but you'd be alone long enough to be able to have chibuk v'nishuk. It doesn't take very long to hug someone, doesn't take very long to kiss someone, it takes a lot longer to have a full-blown ma'isabiyah. So would then there still be a problem of yich? So it's interesting, if you look in the Rishonim, the Me'iri number 2 writes like this, Isser asuhu l'isyach l'me'erva, b'nei sha'adavar, mefateach u'movoi l'gilu erva. It opens up to Gili Erva. So it sounds like from the Me'iri, and the Achreinim HaMadayik from this Me'iri, that we're not worried about Chibuk V'Nishuk, even though it's prohibited. We're worried about Gili Erva. We're worried about you actually having a beer with this woman. We're not worried that you may hug her and kiss her and do other types of things. That, even though it's prohibited, that wouldn't have been a sufficient reason to prohibit Yichud. So why did they create Yichud? Because we're afraid that when you're going to be alone with this person, you're going to do more than just hugging and kissing. You're going to actually have a Maisa beer. That's what the Me'iri seems to be saying. Rav Moshe Feinstein, at least in one place in the Tshuva, in number 3, in Igros Moshe Eben Ezra Chelek Dalet. If you look at Igros Moshe Eben Ezra Chelek Dalet, in the Samach, Samach Gimel, Samach Dalet, Rav Moshe has a bunch of Tshuvas about Yichud. That's where Rav Moshe wrote a lot. A lot of questions were presented to him about Hilchos Yichud. That's where a big bulk of Rav Moshe's opinions, and we'll get to some of them, was written over there. And there Rav Moshe says like this, Vaday Ikar Shir Le'Isser Yichud. Says Rav Moshe, there's definitely a shir for how long it's a problem of being alone. If a person's together for a second, is that an isser? Or there's a certain amount of time? So Rav Moshe's of the opinion is definitely a certain amount of time, and it's the amount of time that you need to be able to have a ma'aseh biyah. How long does that take? So the Gemara says in Saita, it's how long it takes to fry up an egg. How long is that in English? So it depends how long you give at the yichud room for at the chasana. So every Masada Kedushin has his own opinion of how long they think Yichud is. So I think most people hold somewhere between 5 minutes and 9 minutes. I think if you ask the caterers, they tell you 9 minutes. Okay, I think my Rebbe told me, Reb Kalman told me, he thinks it's 5 minutes for Yichud. So if it's 5 minutes for Yichud, so the same way that's how much you're in the Yichud room, that's how much Yichud becomes a prohibition. So Lefiza, you can be alone with the opposite gender as long as it's under 5 minutes. So then we'll see a little later, there's a chiddush from Maril Diskin, Ibn Shuleib, he's chassi shir. If the shir is 5, so 2.5 minutes should be chassi shir. Okay, that's a discussion in the Paiskim if we really say chassi shir over here or not. We'll get to that in a few minutes. So Rav Moshe says, why do you should be any minutes? Why should it be told in how long it takes to have a ma'aseh biyah, says Rav Moshe. What do you mean? It takes 3 seconds to hug her, 3 seconds to hold her hand. Why don't we say it's us or any shir? So Rav Moshe writes, Vade ikar shil isa yichud, the lechibuk v'nishuk afshel harama per chafav misre biyah, who isa deraisa, even though if you were to take a married woman and hold her hand and hug her and kiss her in a romantic way, it would be an isa deraisa, mikol makim leke isa yichud b'shvul zeh. That would not have been the motivation to create the isa yichud. one has to ask why not. But that's the din. If Maisha is assuming like this, Me'ivi, that the reason for Yichud wasn't because you may come to do a different Isser Deraisa, but it's because you're going to actually have a Maisa B'in. Maisha has a Chiddush. If Maisha says the 5 minutes that the Gemara says in Sait, that doesn't apply to Yichud, you need more time by Yichud. Why? Says Maisha, you first of all got to, you have to at least convince her to be with you. By Sait, you already have Kina Vinistra, she's already on board. Here, you guys met for the first time. You have to first, you got to, Maisha has a whole, you have to give enough time to take the clothing off, enough time to convince her, you have to add a couple minutes for that. So whatever minutes it's going to be, Maisha says it's more than a regular Gemara in Sait. This was the whole discussion about the prohibition of Yichud in elevators. This was a big discussion. So the consensus of almost all the Gedalei Achrayim, besides for the Minchas Yitzchak maybe, was there's no issue Yichud in an elevator, because there's not enough time. You can't get anything done in an elevator. What do you mean? It takes a second, you can grab her, you can hold her, all that. So according to these Achrayim, that's not the reason for this Yichud. Now obviously if you're going to do that, you're going to be over an Isser, but that's not why they created the Isser of Yichud. Interestingly enough, Rav Moshe has another tshuva, where he sounds not like this. Rav Moshe has a tshuva, an interesting tshuva, he's discussing where a lady had to go to the mikveh, and the only way she can get to the mikveh was if she took a cab. Okay? So she didn't drive, or whatever the story was. So she had to take a cab to be alone in the car with the driver to go to the mikveh. Obviously, we're talking about at night. She's going to the mikveh at night. So the question was, would this present an issue of yichud? So Rav Moshe addresses like this. He says, number four, he says, well, Mishum Shekosha Ozliris Mashanasa Ba Taxi Shinasas. First, Rav Moshe discusses, well, can anyone really tell what's going on inside the taxi? It's, you know, it's private, no one can see. Shemistavish, Afamakim Shein Locho, Shemiyavladei Bia Mamish, says Rav Moshe, even though maybe they won't actually have a real Bia in the taxi cab, Im Yesh Locho, Shemiyavladei Shari Hiskarvis, maybe they'll do other things in the taxi cab. Kechibu Vinishiku Kedoyme, Nami Yesh La'asa Yichud. That alone should be reason to prohibit Yichud. Now, that's a glaring contradiction to what we just read Rav Moshe Feinstein before. So the Rav Moshe says, "Valzeh yesh lachosh." Says Rav Moshe, "That I'm worried about." But asha af beisha asik b'malachdoi. Even though you'll tell me that this cab driver is not going to do that, there's a heter. We're going to, I don't know if we'll get to it, but there's a heter called the asik b'malachdoi, that people are allowed to be in certain scenarios, and we're not choishish they're going to do anything wrong because this is their job. If they're going to get caught doing this type of work, this type of thing in their job, they're going to lose their job. If a doctor is going to be caught doing things with his patients, he's going to lose his license, he's going to lose his reputation. So there's a heter called asik b'malachdoi. So Rav Moshe says, so same thing with a cab driver. The cab driver is going to do things he's not supposed to do in his cab. He's going to lose his business. Says Rav Moshe, yes, maybe that's if he actually has a beer with this woman. But just to have types of chibuk v'nishuk, maybe he can get away with it. So Rav Moshe comes out in the tshuva where he's actually very concerned about the situation of yichud. Rav Moshe has another very fascinating tshuva that, I don't know if we'll get to it, but I'm just going to mention it. Rav Moshe has a chiddush gadol halacha. Rav Moshe was discussing the shayla of yichud in a car. This comes up all the time with the young couples that are dating. So Rav Moshe has a chiddush that even though maybe there's no technical yichud in the car, Rav Moshe has a chash, what stops you from taking your car and driving off to a quiet, secluded road? So Rav Moshe thinks that's a real problem in the cars. Rav Moshe thinks only b'shas hatchak you can go in the car, even though you're going to be driving down highly populated roads. But what stops the guy from taking the car and going wherever he wants to go? So that's a chiddush, because pashas, we don't think people are going out of the way to make trouble. We're thinking that people are just driving naturally. But that was Rav Moshe's opinion. So this tshuva of Rav Moshe, to me, is a steer to the other Rav Moshe, where Rav Moshe seems to be concerned about this. It's funny, Rav Moshe Weiss has a tshuva where he's discussing a fascinating shayla about a woman was traveling alone with a driver, but the weather was so bad that if the driver did anything besides to focus on the road, they would have crashed the car. So the question presented to Rav Moshe Weiss was, is there even a shayla of yichud? There's no way anything's happening in this car. If this guy does anything besides to hold both hands on the wheel, he's ending up off the road. So the question was, is that alone a reason to be matir yichud? So he says, he goes through the whole discussion, and he says, well, nothing's going to happen. So then he says, but, he quotes a chiddush, which I didn't see anywhere else, but he writes that Rabbi Eliashiv and Rav Pinchas Scheinberg both disagree with this premise that we're saying from the Meir and Rav Moshe. And they held that yichud is asur even if you want to have any relations. You're not going to do any bia, but you may come to do chibuk v'nishuk. That alone, held Rabbi Eliashiv and Pinchas Scheinberg, is a reason to asur yichud, which is fascinating. If that would be the case, then yichud in an elevator should be asur. According to these acharedim, in an elevator, you don't have that much time to have a bia, but you definitely have enough time to do chibuk v'nishuk. But that seems not to be the accepted opinion amongst the gedolei acharedim. Most of the acharedim believe that we're worried about actual bias and we're not concerned about chibuk v'nishuk, which is why the consensus amongst all the gedolei acharedim is that there is no prohibition of yichud in an elevator. Being that there's not enough time for anything to take place in an elevator, elevators are safe. However, they bring down from this Yibushu Leib Diskin that Maral Diskin held as a problem of chasishir. Even if, let's make up the number, 5 minutes is the time you're not allowed to be alone with someone that's awesome. So, Tanya Rebbe Shul Leib, so 2.5 minutes should be Chatzishir.
So, you do Chatzishir and time?
Right, so that's the whole discussion. If you neman that it's a reality, that this is a certain amount of time, it's not chazil, it's tarufi, right? You can't connect those two, the 2.5 minutes before and 2.5 minutes after, it's not going to equal 5 minutes. If we're talking about like something like food, so it equals up to a kazayis. So this is a big discussion. Almost all the achrayim reject this possibility of Yeshua Leib Diskin. Now you can really make another chakira. Maybe even, let's say, the reason for yichir is because when you're alone, we're afraid you're going to actually do something. Does that mean that it has to be now physically possible to do something? What happens if you're alone in an elevator for 3 minutes and you build a real relationship? Then you leave the elevator and go into an empty room and do whatever you want to do. Maybe the prohibition of yichud is because that time alone that you have with this person creates an intimacy. And that intimacy will equal you'll go somewhere else in 5 minutes and do what you want. Which one can make the argument, if that's the case, even if you're being alone in an elevator for 3 minutes, yes, granted, nothing will happen in this elevator for 3 minutes, but then you'll get out of the elevator and go into your bedroom. So that's also a discussion that many achrayim have. That maybe the issue of yichud is not only for the right now, but it's what the environment creates, and therefore it should be prohibited even later. But halacha l'maisa, we assume that there is some form of a time frame for yichud, and therefore if you're in a situation where it's not long enough to have the shir yichud, it would not create a problem. There's a Pnei Yeshua over here, number 6, that needs to be mentioned. The Pnei Yeshua says that for 30 years, he spent trying to figure out this Gemara and Kedushin. He's bothered him for 30 years. How does this Gemara, from a pasuk talking about a brother trying to convince another brother to do Avodah Zarah, to somehow the Gemara and Kedushin derive from this a prohibition of yichud? Where? How? Pnei Yeshua says it bothered him for 30 years. And the Pnei Yeshua says he thinks we all missed the boat on this Gemara. We all missed on the Gemara. The Gemara doesn't learn it from the fact that the Torah talks about a brother. Says the Pnei Yeshua, fakert. Says the Pnei Yeshua, if you would look up the pasuk over there in Chumash, what does the pasuk say? Who's trying to sway who? So the Pnei Yeshua writes this in number 6. He says, the end of the pasuk. What does it say at the end of the pasuk? It says, Yisischa oire echa, it keeps on talking about a brother. It says either your brother will do it, or your daughter will try to sway you. Why doesn't it say your sister? Why does it only say your brother, your brother, your brother? Why doesn't it say maybe your sister will try to sway you? It says the Pnei Yeshua, because where does this swaying take place? In private. Why? So why can only a brother be with another brother? Pnei Yeshua is assuming that when the Torah is talking about the person, it's a male the Torah is talking about. Because you'll never come to such a situation, because you're never allowed to be alone with your sister. What is it? Why did the Torah say your sister will sway you? Because you'll never get into a situation where your sister can try to sway you. Because all good convincing takes place in private. You can't be alone with your sister. So therefore says the Pnei Yeshua, that's how the Gemara knows the Isser of Yichud. Not from the beginning of the Pasuk, but from the end of the Pasuk. From the fact that the Torah only discusses it being with certain people alone, you can derive that everyone else, you don't have to worry about them trying to convince you to do Avodah Zarah, because you'll never be alone with them, because you're not allowed to be alone with them. That's how the Pnei Yeshua learns the Gemara. It's a big chiddush how the Pnei Yeshua saw from the Gemara the prohibition of Yich. In any case, we see from this Gemara that there seems to be an Isser from a Pasuk. There's a Gemara in Avodah Zarah, Daf Lamed Vav Amud Beis, where the Gemara is having a whole discussion about David HaMelech. There's a great story, I don't know if great's the right word, a fascinating story is a better word, in the times of David HaMelech with his children, with Amnon and Tamar. Amnon and Tamar is an interesting story. This is one of the reasons why they don't teach Nach to elementary school kids. But in any case, the story basically is that Amnon was Ma'anis. He raped his half-sister Tamar. After this story, David HaMelech came out and decided, that's it. We have to make a new prohibition. We have to Asur Yichud with single people. Even though Tamar was single at the time, even though she wasn't an Ashes Ish, David HaMelech said, that's it. We got to stop this. And he made a gzeira that now Yichud is alone, even with a single girl who's not a married woman. The Gemara over then, Avodah Zarah says, what? Yichud de Bas Yisrael, Dairaisi. The idea of not being alone in a room with a Jewish girl, that's Dairaisa. Dairaisi, he sounds like it's Menatayr. And then the Gemara quotes our Gemara. Damar Birchim Shem Shem Yat Tzadik, Remez Yichim Menatayr, the whole Gemara. So you see from that Gemara in Avodah Zarah that they understood that our Gemara and Kedushin, as far fetched as it sounds to us, it's real Dairaisa. So the Gemara says, you're right. Yichud Dairaisa, the Eishes Ish. Yichud Dairaisa is only with a married woman, a Jewish married woman. For Asa David, then David came along, V'gazer afilu ha'yichud de Pnuya. Then David came along and he said, even a Jewish single girl, who's not married, and if you were to live with her, you would not really be over any serious Isurim, that's also prohibited to be alone with. the Asa Tamidei Beis Shammai Ubeis Hillel. Then later on, much later on, the students of Shammai and Hillel came along and they said, Gazra filu ayichud ayvedis yichavim. And they said, you're not even allowed to be alone with a non-Jewish woman. So there's clearly three levels in yichud. The first level was yichud with an Eishes Ish, the most severe. That the Gemara calls the Eraisa. Then the next level is yichud with a single girl who's not married, a Jewish single girl. And the last level would be a non-Jewish girl. So, when we're talking about the severity of yichud, so if one's going to be alone with a married woman, someone comes to fix the plumbing in a Jewish home, and the married and the eishes ish, the woman is home, that's yichud ayreis. If you're going to be in your office, and your secretary is not Jewish, so that's yichud of a goya, that's yichud the rabbana. That's clearly very different. Penuya is a little tricky, because the penuya is a single girl, who's not married, who's Jewish, which would be almost all the girls until they get married. However, the single girls today are also a nida. Right? Your average girl around the age of 11 or 12 gets a period, and she doesn't go to the mikveh until she goes to the chasana. So she retains the status of a nida. So where does a nida fall into this category? Is a nida similar to an eishes ish, or is a nida similar to a goya? Where exactly does that fall in? And that presents all the problems with babysitters. If you're going to have a Jewish babysitter, a nice 16, 17-year-old girl to babysit, that could present yichud issues. That's the big discussion amongst the Paiskim of where does she fall in. Pashtus most achreinim hold that a single Jewish girl who didn't go to the mikvah would be considered like an eishes ish, would be a deraisa. That's what most achreinim hold. The Kavna Rav held not like that. That's a chiddush. But most achreinim held that a single Jewish girl who doesn't go to the mikvah is yichud deraisa like an eishes ish. So if you come to a Jewish house and there's a 17-year-old girl in the house, that's yichud deraisa.
Single.
So a non-Jewish girl, married or single, is going to be a derabon. So your secretary at all, you know, secretaries at work, assuming that they're not Jewish, might want to find out maybe. If they're not Jewish, that's yichud derabon. Again, we keep derabonins as well. But you have a little bit more, we'll call it wiggle room, because we're dealing with derabonins. Mashenkin, if you're going to be dealing with Jewish people, you're going to have potentially issues of yichud derais, depending on their status.
But couldn't you say that a secretary is a business?
Yeah, definitely. We're not getting into all the details of when there are. Next week's shir is going to say all the times you're allowed to have yichud. This week's shir, we got to first figure out who's included in this prohibition, and then we'll talk about some practical ways of getting around it. But first, we got to figure out who's at least included in this isser. Who? That's right. That's what we're trying to do. We're trying to build a business. We're trying to first figure out who's included in this isser and why, and then we'll figure out when these issues become a problem. There's a discussion amongst the Rishonim, really. Why is a person not allowed to be with his own wife when she's a nida? A person with his own wife is a nida, is a kares also. It's an erva. So why is a person ever allowed to be with his
own?
Right, so there's a heter because there'll be mutter later on, even though right now she's really an erva like any other woman. So there's a fascinating rush at the end of Hilchas Nida. The rush writes that the reason why you're allowed to be miyachid with your wife who's a nida because EF Sherbin Yanacher. What else are you supposed to do? Have two houses? We can't even afford one. You're going to have two. How are you supposed to do this? So the Rosh writes, because there's no other way of doing it, somehow it's mut, which is very hard to believe. That's not the way Judaism works. That's the wrong religion. If Judaism is that it's hard to be a Jew and we do it. So that's an interesting chiddush of the Rosh. But halacha l'maaseh, we hold there is no prohibition of yichud with one's own wife unless it's a chuppas nida. The only exception to the rule is if, let's say, at the time of the chasana, she's already your nida and they were never together at all, or never even attempted to be together, then she would have a status of yichud, and then that does present a very, very big problem. But in any case, that's from this Gemara, it seems to be very clear that this Gemara calls our yichud da'irais. So yichud with an eishes ish would be an isser da'irais.
And so if man has the provision, not the woman?
No, everyone does. This is for both ways.
That goes both ways.
The Paiskim even urge that many times yichud is not planned. It's not like you say Hani Mukhram Zuman to be over yichud. It just works out that way that you look around and it's suddenly just you and her, or you're stuck in a situation of yichud. It's not always planned like that. And it's also even if it's not planned. And it's also even if nothing happens. Let's say you're alone with a woman and you don't do anything. You're a good person. You behave yourself. You still over Isser yichud. You weren't over the Isser of Arayis because you didn't do anything with her. But you still were over the Isser of yichud even though nothing took place. It's an independent Isser, nothing to do with what the outcome will or won't be. So that's the question. The question is, who is included in this issur? So we now know Eishes Ish is the highest level. Then we have a Pnuya, which is questionable. And the lowest level we'll call a Gaya, which would be a Dirabanan from the Tamidim of Beis Shammai Beis
Hillel. Is it for a woman with a non-Jewish man also a Dirabanan level?
So that's a little bit more complicated. We're going to have to get to that maybe later. Now, the status of a Jewish woman with a guy gets a little bit more complicated. But Pashtus would be, if you look at her, then it should be direct. As far as she's concerned, she's an Eish Ish. If she'd be Mizana, she'd be in big trouble. There's a Gemara in Sanhedrin number 8. The Gemara discusses this question of why exactly is a Nida allowed to be alone with her own husband. The Gemara quotes a Pasuk in Shea Shirim. The Pasuk says, Suga Bashashanim. Shafilu Kesuga Bashashanim La Yivetu Ben Pratzis. Most Rishonim learn the Gemara. That means that by Nida, we're careful enough. We don't need extra boundaries. We know what we're not allowed to do, and therefore we don't need this extra Geder of Yichud. So Taisus and number, and Taisus asks the Kasha, Taisus says, 1 second. If the Isra of Yichud is Deraisa, and the Pasuk in Shea Shirim is Medivri Kabbalah, how can a Pasuk in Shea Shirim beat out a Pasuk in the Torah? You're telling me now that the only reason why a person is allowed to be with his Nida wife in Yichud is because of a Pasuk in Shea Shirim? That's going to beat out a Pasuk in the Torah?
Well, the other one's a Remez.
But you see from Taisus's Kasha that Taisus assumed for a given that Yichud is Deraisa. Right? If Taisus held that Yichud was only Rabbanu, he shouldn't have a Kasha. Taisus understood Yichud is Deraisa, and therefore he asked Kasha that a Deraisa should beat out a Divrei Kabbalah. And Taisus answers no. Taisus says that the Torah only answered a raya that have a certain level that will never be permitted to you. But a Nida, Saifa Li Tar. But since this Nida will eventually become Tar, that's why it was never included in the prohibition.
So maybe that's
right.
So a single girl should be
married. So then afkamina between this reason and what we mentioned, b'shem the Rosh, would be a single Jewish girl. According to the Rosh, the only reason why you're allowed to live with a nida is because there's no other choice. That wouldn't apply to a nice, good, single Jewish girl. There are other options. You know, don't walk into her bedroom. But if the reason is like this, Taisus, that's Sefer Litar. So any Jewish girl could be Sefer Litar. You could take her to the mikvah. So the Achrayim point out that the nafkamina and the reasons of the Rishayim would be our Pnuyas Tere. That's the Achrayim point out. If you look in other Rishayim, it's the debate is Yichud Deraisa or is Yichud Rabbanan. So again, I'm just emphasizing why is this so important. The reason why this is so important to figure out if Yichud is Deraisa or Yichud Rabbanan. Now this means Yichud Deish Ish. Right? Obviously the other ones are for sure Rabbanan. It's Deish Ish. The reason why it's so important is because you have to figure out what do you do in a case of Suffolk. If let's say you're not sure if this is Yichud or it's a Machlaikas HaPaiskim, then you have to say, well, if it's Deraisa, I have to go to Chum. If it's Rabbanan, I go to Chum. The Torah is very clear. The Torah writes, Asam in Atayral Ish. It's usher from the Torah. Torah is clear. Isser deraisa. To be miyachid with an erva ben yolda ben zkena. Doesn't matter how old they are. The chachamim gazu akol yichra afil shal pnuyi v'goya. Uvavad shetim b'baz gimel shanam ulamala. The ages, this is important to note. The ages for yichra are for a girl above the age of 3 and for the boy above the age of 9. Which means a male above the age of 13 cannot be alone with a girl above the age of 3. And a girl above the age of 12 may not be alone with a boy above the age of 9. However, a girl who's 4 and a boy who's 9 could be alone. Because the chashash over here is when there's one adult and one child, the one adult's going to make the trouble. But when there's 2 children, we don't think either of them are going to get anything started. So it has to be at least one adult in the equation with one child. So this shaila comes up very often with babysitters. Let's say you have a 10-year-old boy, and you don't trust him to watch the kids when you go out. So you bring in a babysitter. You bring in a 16-year-old girl. That's Yichud. She's 16, and he's 10. That's a problem. You have one adult, one child. That could be a potential problem of Yichud. That's the ages that we have for the prohibition of Yichud. So that's important to remember when trying to figure out when there's Yichud. So for a boy, if it's he's above the age of 9, for a girl, if she's above the age of 3.
So if you hold that it has to be a case of Bia, or life Bia, or time Bia, or whatever,
right.
I guess that's the difference. But if you have a 9-year-old woman...
So that's where things get very blurred over here. Rav Moshe has tshuva, another talk, but let's say you have people, it's not happening. Let's be honest over here. It's not happening. So Rav Moshe has a tshuva we discussed, let's say for medical reasons. Let's say a person it's impossible. He can't be able to be with someone. So then Rav Moshe thinks it would be okay. Other than that, Rav Moshe thinks it's going to be a problem. Even, you know, the Achrenim talk about, let's say you have a case where the person's just ugly. I hate to sound so vain. But, you know, there's no way this is happening. There's no way anything's going to happen in this relationship. It's still us. Which leads us to believe, as much as it's dependent upon what may happen, there still is this line we say, no, even though it may not, but it's always possible. If it's possible, we're going to have this prohibition.
One of those cases where we have to say, well, poofus, otherwise we'll...
Right, you're going to start to say, well, to me, she's repulsive, but another guy thinks she's beautiful. It gets a little tricky.
Yeah, but you're the one who's with her.
Correct. Even though we're going to see
even subjective.
Yeah, but that would be too complicated. Chazal, the Torah, they had to have some rules. You know, they can't say, well, I only like blondes and he only likes brunettes. So for him, it's mutter. You know, it gets a little crazy. But right, so that's the chiddush of the Shulchan Aruch. He writes Ben Yolda Ben Zkena. He speaks to that mafurish, that even elderly or young, it's still going to be a problem. If you look in the Rambam is the big question over here. What's the Shitas HaRambam? The Rambam writes...
It just hit me.
Yeah.
So is that possible that a grandson can't be...
Okay, we're going to get to that later tonight. I left that off for the end of the year. What about grandparents? You want to bring your kids to I want to do it all the time. Drop my kids off by parents and in-laws to watch the kids, right? And they'll say, I'm sorry, we can't. There's a shayla of yichud. Forget it. It'll be in big trouble. So we're going to get to it. If we don't get to it, the answer is it's not a problem. We have to figure out why it's not a problem. But the answer is in the short, it's not a problem. Tonight's shiur was trying to get to who is included. I don't know if we'll get to all the people, but we're going to try to get to a lot of them. The Rambam writes in number 12, Isu yichud arayis mepi akabola. That's always tricky words. Isser arayis mirpi akabala. What does mirpi akabala mean? So the Kesef Mishnah writes in Hilchos Ishus, for those of us who are learning Kedushin, we spoke about this Rambam in other places, where the Rambam talks about Kesef Kedushin. He uses the terminology midivei seifrim, which is also very unclear. So the Kesef Mishnah says mirpi akabala means that it's either halacha moish mesinai or it's learned that from one of the Yud Gimel Midas. That's what the Kesef Mishnah says. It's a big discussion, a lot of tumult over here. What's the Shita Rambam? Does the Rambam mean it's daraisa or does the Rambam mean it's the Rabban? So there's a Mikanu Lakan, you have both studied. If you look in the Me'iri is very clear. He thinks it's an Issa Deraisa. So it's definitely a discussion amongst the Rishonim, is it Deraisa or is it the Rabban? The Menachas Asher, Basha Weiss, brings down from the Sefer HaChinuch. The Sefer HaChinuch is of the opinion that Yichud is Deraisa, but for a totally different reason. The Sefer HaChinuch thinks it's included in the Lav of Leisikrivu. Part of the prohibition of living with an Erva is not only living with the Erva, it's doing things that can lead to living with an Erva. So says the Sefer HaChinuch, that's Yichud. Yichud is one of those things that can lead you to live with an Erva, and that's included in the Lav of Leisikrivu. That's a Chiddush. Rabbi Shawai says, this is a Chiddush no one else says. But that's the opinion of the Sefer HaChinuch. The Shulchan Aruch writes, very, very politically correct. The Shulchan Aruch writes, Aser Lehis Yachid. That's safe. It's true. It is Aser. He doesn't tell you if it's Deraisa or Derabbanan. He just tells you Aser. So the Tzitz Eliezer has a tshuva where he thinks that the Shulchan Aruch is really siding with the Rambam, and the Shulchan Aruch really thinks it's Derabbanan, which is a big chiddush. The Tzitz Eliezer really believes that the Shulchan Aruch's opinion is that Yich is only Derabbanan. And he writes in number 15, Uldover Hazeh, Imhume Deraisa, Mamish, Arak, Medivik, Kabbalah, Yish, Toitzos, Machriyas, Agabi, Sveika, Dedina. It's very relevant for us to know. If it's a Safik, the Sveika, the Metzias, let's say you have a case of Safik, the Metzias. You don't know how old she is, maybe. That's also a Safik. So then it makes a difference, because if it's only Derabbanan, there's more room to be lenient. It's not clear how the place can deal with this question of is it Deraisa or is it Derabbanan. In any case, we should try to be Machmir. But at least with either a Goya or a single girl, maybe there's more room to be lenient. But with an Ashes Ish, or maybe other Arayas, which we'll have to get to, let's say daughter-in-law, that's a common erva, maybe a mother-in-law, possibly certain sister-in-laws, that might be a Shaila of an Issa Deraisa. So now let's talk a little bit about who's included in this prohibition. Who can't you be alone with and who can you be alone with? So the Mishnah told us you're allowed to be alone with your mother. Okay, so mother and son, not a problem. There's a Mechaber in Shulchan Aruch that also says that a mother is always allowed to kiss a son. Right? The parents are allowed to kiss each other. Over there there's a discussion, what about grandparents? So over there the Bach writes that it's also mutter to kiss grandparents. When I remember when I was a little kid, my grandmother used to kiss me. And he don't like it. So she told me, I'm allowed to kiss you. I said, I know you are. I still don't like it. You're allowed to. I'm not denying it. I know the halacha. You're allowed to kiss me. I still don't enjoy it. Right, right. But in any case, that's the halacha. We paskin that it's mutter. That's where Moshe writes, at least in one place in the tshuva, Moshe has another tshuva where he wants to be mechalik between what type of grandchild is it. If it's your daughter's child or if it's your son's child. He has a chiddush that he thinks that if you're going to kiss a child that comes from your daughter-in-law, he thinks that could conjure up thoughts, because your daughter, this child comes from your daughter-in-law. Your daughter-in-law, she's not your child. So therefore, Ramesha has a tzad in one place in the tshuva where he thinks there's makom to be machm. He thinks it's okay. He thinks you could be mekel, but he thinks there, in theory, there's makom to be mechalik. I don't believe that's the accepted custom. I think the accepted custom is we kiss all our grandchildren across the board, whether it's from our sons or it's from our daughters. But the Gemara is...
Mindset early when this was said. I mean, I'm not saying that it's not theoretical.
Yeah, there's definitely no doubt that the levels or the numbers of these types of things happening are lower. That was the whole discussion that came up when with a yichud with adoptive children. It's a very sensitive topic. It really needs its own share and it needs to be handled extremely delicately. But very, very, very bekitzer, and again, this is definitely not halacha maisa, even less halacha maisa than everything else we're saying tonight, because this is a very sensitive matter. The opinion of the Lubavitcher Rebbe was that you're not allowed to be miyachid with adoptive children. And the Lubavitcher Rebbe told people it's worth it not to adopt. Because of the shayla of yichud, it's better. Now, think about that. We're talking about at a time where there wasn't really a place for these kids to go. It's not like today where Baruch Hashem, we have organizations and they have homes to be there. They were stuck in government housing. The Lubavitcher Rebbe held that it's not worth taking in all the shaylas. Rav Soloveitchik disagreed. Rav Soloveitchik held that it's mutter to be miyachid with adoptive children. So there's a story that Chabatsker called up Rav Soloveitchik for heter to adopt a kid. So he asked him, what's your background? He told him he's Lubavitch. He said, so you can't come to me, you got to go to the Lubavitch. At the end of the story, the Rebbe, Rav Soloveitchik gave him a brach, he ended up having natural kids. That's a Rebbe Shemaisa from Rav Soloveitchik. Okay. Can't say that always in the same sentence, but that was the story. But this was a very heated debate among with stepchildren and adoptive children. A very big debate. Rav Soloveitchik held it's permitted. The Lubavitcher Rebbe held it's not permitted. The Sitzti Eliezer has a tshuva where he thinks it's allowed, and he makes an interesting, compelling argument. He says, today, if you're going to adopt a child, and you're not going to hug or kiss that child, that kid's not going to survive. Today, kids need it. They need the love and the care, and they need it from their parents. If you're going to adopt a child and never touch the kid, it's not very practical. But Moshe has a tshuva where he discusses this idea, at least with step maybe. He says, because there's a mirsus over here. Let's say you have a stepdaughter. If you do anything that's not kedas or gedin, she's going to run back and tell her mom. She's going to rat you out. So Rav Moshe thinks it's permitted. Fascinating enough, Rabbi Felder, Zatzal from Philadelphia, wrote a sefer. He was a Talmud of Rav Moshe. He writes a sefer, and he writes for a given that it's usher for yichud with adoptive children. He does even mention this Rav Moshe in the tshuva. But it's a very, very, very complicated shaila, how to deal with yichud with adoptive children, yichud with stepchildren. These are all very, very, very sensitive topics. And some of them make the argument that today we need to. If you're going to adopt a child, you're never going to hug and kiss the child. It's not going to be fair to the child. Some achrayim suggest if you're going to adopt, better adopt a girl. Why? Because who's going to be home more often? I guess depending on who does what in the house. But usually the mother's going to be home more. So if it's a girl, so it won't be such an issue. Yichud. If it's going to be a boy, you'll have bigger problems. But again, definitely, definitely, these are very, very sensitive issues. Need to be handled extremely carefully and delicately. But the Gemara says, the Mishnah says, you'll have to be miyachid with one's mother. Now, the Gemara never says you'll have to be miyachid daughter with a father. It's a great way to get out of doing any father responsibilities. Right? The Gemara never says you're allowed to be alone with your daughter, so you can't drive a car, you can't drive her to school, you're not allowed to be miyachid with her. Right? So the Rishonim all say that that's not true. A person is allowed to be miyachid with father and son. All children are not a problem. What about sisters? What about brothers and sisters? So this is an interesting machloikis in the Gemara, believe it or not. The Gemara in Kedusha number 16 says like this. Amar Yehuda Amar Rabasi, Misyachid Adam Machoiser. A person is allowed to be miyachid with his sister. Vidor im imoy v'im bitoy. And he's allowed to live with his mother and with his daughter. What's the change of terminology between misyached and dar? So Rashi says that misyached means leprokim. It means occasionally. But you can't live long term with your sister. Very negay, let's say you have a brother and sister that are in college together in the city. And instead of each one of them paying tuition and having to be in the dorm, they decide, let's just get an apartment together. And they'll get their own apartment in the city. That's a big problem. Because you're not allowed to live together in a long term with your sister. There's a whole discussion on the achrein and how long is leprakim? How long can you? So some people say leprakim means 30 days. You can't be alone longer than 30 days. Rav Moshe rejects this idea in a tshuva. He doesn't think that's the case. But this is a big problem. People don't realize. My brother and sister want to go on vacation together. They're that close. I never had a desire to go on vacation with my sisters, but okay, my families are different. You want to go on vacation with your sister for 3-4 days. This can present a big problem. Or the flip case. The parents go out of town. And they leave the 15-year-old brother with the 17-year-old sister to run the house. That could be a big problem of yichud. That might be leprakim. So again, these are serious shailas that come up more often than not. Again, if the parents go out at night to the chasana and they leave the 15-year-old with the 17-year-old, that's okay. That's for sure leprakim. But if they're going away for 3-4 days, they're going on a vacation, the parents, and they're leaving their kids, and it's just the two of them, that could definitely pose a halachic issue that needs to be dealt with. But that's the first opinion of the Gemara. Rabbi Yehuda says that with a sister, you can't have long-term. With parents, you can live long-term. So the Gemara about ki amri kami de Shmuel amar asal es yachidim kol araisha b'teira. Shmuel says, no, you can't be alone with anyone. Anyone that to you is an erva, you're not allowed to be with. You can't be alone with your mother, you can't be alone with your sister, you can't be alone with your grandmother, everyone's asal. V'afilu im behema. Even with an animal. Can't be alone with an animal. Let's say you have a single guy who has a dog. He's a single guy who wants some companionship. He takes a dog. Takes a cat. Takes a bird. I don't know. Whatever he wants to have. Right? Okay, maybe not a bird. I don't know. But a kid says he has a behemoth. So according to Shmuel, that's a big problem. There's a bigger discussion, which again is not for tonight, is what about two men being miyachid? Two guys want to take roommates together. Is there a yichlah too? Today is a huge problem. The dormitories. And when I was in yeshiva, there always the rules. You have to have three guys to a room. Can never have two guys in a dorm room. So whether or not that's the yichlah for other reasons, but that was always the policy. Is that, let's say two guys take an apartment, and this is meisim b'chol yaim. Two guys are in college, they're in yeshiva, they decide they don't want to pay the high tuition, they take an apartment together. Would that pose a problem of yichlah? So until we saw Shmuel, we would have thought, no, where does that come in? Now that we have this statement of Shmuel, we have to figure out, does this pose a problem? More importantly, who do we paskin like? Do we paskin like Yehuda Merav, Rav Asi, or do we paskin like Shmuel? So the Gemara comes out, it's a machlokes tanoim. Okay, great. Machlokes tanoim. Still, who do we paskin like? Very big nafkamina la halacha.
Two rights, right? So the two men, yeah. Their rights.
Yeah, well, again, if you hold that they could potentially do something wrong, if they could have mishkav, you know, they could have bia, then it would be a sederaisa. Right? Now, the shayla is, are we choshed al ha-mishkav zacha? That's a big discussion. The Gemara says, lo yinachshedu, we're not choshed people ha-mishkav zacha. Yet, if we see later, the line in Shulchan Aruch, it might not be so simple. But we'll get to that in a few minutes. So the Beis Shmuel makes that argument. We'll have to see. The question is where we left today. I'm not so sure which side of the thing we are in today.
Today wouldn't be negev because we have the internet. You know?
Yeah, I'm just not sure where we are today with mishkav zacha. I don't know. I'm not sure which side we are anymore, but we'll have to get to that. I don't know. I want to be politically correct.
It's part of Matur would be to say that we're most normal people. That's not...
Okay, good. So we're going to have to try to see. We're going to have to see how we actually paskin. Now, there's a very important Rashi over here, number 17. Rashi says, why are you allowed to be dor with your mother or with your daughter? Why are you allowed to be alone? Why are you allowed to live long-term with your parents? So Rashi, loy tokif yitzvei alayu. Because the Yetzirah will not overtake you. Nothing's going to happen with your mother or with your daughter. Why? Dahani be anshik nesag doyla. Because Anshe Knesset HaGedolah did us a favor. They worked the Lemagri B'Krevosa. They made it, they pulled away the desire for you to live with Arayus. They took the taiva away. So since they took the taiva away, nothing's going to happen. So no taiva, no reason to have the Eser Yichud. So Rashi is giving us a Nesina Satam. The reason why you're allowed to live long term at the same house with your mother or with your daughter and not your sister is for some reason the taiva of Arayus was pulled, but it was pulled only enough for your mother and your daughter, but not enough for your sister. The big kash on this Rashi is, but the Gemara gives a pasuk for why you're allowed to be alone with your mother. This is a contradiction. So the Ezim Mikaydish, who wrote a pirush on Shulchan Aruch, he discusses this. If Rashi's correct, that the reason why you're allowed to be miach with your mother is because there's no Yitzhara, so why does the Gemara need a pasuk from this Gemara in Kedushin? So that's a discussion. Now, interestingly enough, the Taisa Rosh asks the kash the other way around. He wants to know, why is it so simple you're allowed to be alone with your daughter? Why are you allowed to be alone with your daughter? Says the Teisu Rosh, V'had Shari Bebit, at bottom of the page, number 18. Why are you allowed to be alone with your daughter? Kimoy be'imoy. Mishum dehoyol v'yotza mimenu le'magri be'klal. He says, you know why you're allowed to be alone with your mother? Because since you came from her, that's why there's no taifa to go back. That's why you're not going to do anything. It just, she bore you, and that automatically knocks out any chance of anything happening. So for the Teisu Rosh, that doesn't help for a father. V'yaf agav de'le'havi'yotza mimenu ma'amish kimoy be'imoy. Still, it's okay. So it sounds like there's another svar over here. There's a specific svar of why there's no Yetzirah for one's mother is because you came from her. And since you came from her, that takes away the title. The Tosfos Russian Kedushin asks, he says, one second. You're telling me that Anshe Knesset HaGedolah took away the Yetzirah. But the Pasuk says that Yichud is a problem. So if the Pasuk says Yichud is also, how can Anshe Knesset HaGedolah change things? Again, this is all assuming the Yichud's derais. So the Tosfos Russian says, no. Yichud's only a problem if there's a Yetzirah for it. But since Anshe Knesset HaGedolah removed the Yetzirah, there's no reason for the Yetzirah of Yichud. So therefore, says the Teisa Rosh, it's not a problem. Frek the Rashash. So Rashash says, one second. If Anshe Knesset HaGedolah took away the taiva for your sister and for your mother, so they took away the taiva for all relatives. So you should be allowed to be alone with your aunt. Why are you not allowed to be alone with your aunt? There should be no prohibition of Yichud with an aunt. Because it's the same right. An aunt... an aunt not through marriage. An aunt through blood. Meaning your father's sister... or your mother's sister. For Ekta Rashash, if you tell me, now there's a Gemara, that the Gemara says, we pulled away the Taiva, so what happened to all the rights? You should be allowed to be miyachah with your aunt, not through marriage. So Rav Moshe Feinstein has a tshuva where he talks about paskals like that. Rav Moshe says there would be no prohibition of yichud with an aunt, not through marriage. An aunt through marriage would be a problem. And a daughter-in-law would be a problem of yichud, because it's through marriage. But those rights that are not through marriage, Rav Moshe seems to hold, would not possess would not pose a problem of yichud. So if a person is going to be alone with his father's sister, his mother's sister, that would not constitute yichud, even though you'd be usser. If you'd live with her, you'd get it would be isser, it would be isser deraisa, that would not constitute a problem of yichud. But how do we paskin halacha l'maisa with this machlokes of Rabbi Asi and Shmuel? So the Rosh, if you turn to the other side, number 22, very quickly, the Rosh says that Tosfos and Kedushin already paskins like Rabbi Asi. And we hold like Rabbi Asi. What was Abbas's opinion? That you're allowed to be alone with your sister and you're allowed to be alone with your mother, no problem. Why? Because he was greater than Shmuel. But the Rosh does come out at the end and he says that there's Gemaras in Kedushin that say that all these Amoraim were so scared to be alone even with an animal because they were choshish for Shmuel, concludes the Rosh, v'hamachmer tovei olav bracha. If someone wants to be machmer, tovei olav bracha. There's the Rosh talking. The Rosh is saying if a person wants to be machmer, not to have yichud with his sister, tovei olav bracha. So let's say, you know, parents took a boy and a girl together in the same room, the kid can tie it on his parents. I need to get my own bedroom because I'm machmer tovei olav bracha of the Rosh. Is there anyone that's really machmer not to have yichud with their sister? Really? Is anyone machmer on that? So fast. Interestingly enough, I don't know if you look in number 24, the Chachmas Adam writes that ha-machmer tovei olav bracha. The Chachmas Adam writes, if a person is machmer not to be miyachid with his sister, even though it's mutter, tovei olav bracha. However, if you look in the Sefer Nidchei Yisrael written by the Chavetz Chaim doesn't even bring this down. He writes for Dava Pashat, you're allowed to be miyachid with your sister short term, you're allowed to be miyachid with your mother long term, no conversation, nothing to talk about. The Tzitz Eliezer writes, without a doubt, there is no problem, there is no prohibition of yichud with one sister. I don't want anyone coming out of this year saying, I'm a new from a chumrah, I can't be alone with my sister, that's it. No, not true. The Gedalia Achrayim believe it's not true. And one of the reasons he says it's Tzitz Eliezer is because it's Xerid Dein Rei Batsi B'chayim Lamed, but people can't handle such. It wouldn't be practical. Brothers and sisters couldn't be alone, it's what type of, it wouldn't be practical. And therefore it's mutter. The Klausenberger Rebbe has a great tshuva where he says, you know why it's mutter to be miyachid with your parents? Because you have a chiyuv to be mechabed them. If you had a chiyuv to mechabed them, you wouldn't be allowed to be alone with them. It would be very difficult to do that. So therefore, Dr. Klausenberger, that's why you're allowed to do it. Because since you have a chiyuv to mechabed your parents, and part of the chiyuv mechabed them is feed them and clothe them, and how are you going to be able to do it if you're not allowed to be alone with them? It must be, says the Klausenberger Rebbe, that it's mutter. He also writes that there's no problem of being miyachid with one sister. I'm making this very clear. There is no problem, even though the Rosh says Tovei Lav Bracha, and this Rishonim would say to be Machmer for Shmuel, Halacha L'maisa, we assume there is no such problem from being alone with one sister. What about one's grandparents? So the opinion of the Bach is what's widely accepted. The Bach says that the same way the Shulchan Aruch writes, that a son is allowed to kiss his mother and vice versa, included in that is also grandparents. So therefore, if you're allowed to kiss your grandchild, you're allowed to be Miyachi with your grandchild, it does not pose a problem. That's the way we pass. There's a Chiddush from the Rogachava. It's very quickly. The Rogachava has a lot of geshmak and chedushim that are never niskabel lahalacha. He has a lot of chedushim and lomdus that just never made it into practical halachic ramifications. He has a whole chiddush about traveling through the ear. He holds it's not called travel, it's not called mahalich, and therefore you don't have to say tefillah sederach. He has a whole shtickle Torah about it. It's not accepted. No one believes that idea of the Rogachava. But he has another chiddush by yichud, a big chiddush. The Rogachava suggests that the whole yichud d'iraisa is only long term. But just to be alone with a woman for 3 minutes, or 5 minutes, or 7 minutes, that would only be the rabban. That's the opinion of the Rogachov. It's widely rejected by the contemporary Achrayim, and they hold not like that. I just want to wrap up with a maisa that happened to me yesterday. A similar story happened to Rav Shechter and quoted in Nefesh HaRav. I was watching my daughter, she's 7, and she brought over a friend who's 7. Right? So me and my daughter are okay, because my daughter is my daughter. There's no yichud. What about her friend? Her friend is a 7-year-old girl. A 7-year-old girl with an adult is a problem of yichud. So the Gemara, no, so that'd be me and two girls. Me and two girls is usher.
Yeah, but one of them is your daughter.
So the Gemara says a svara of ishtei mishamrasi. There's a svara that your wife protects you. What about your daughter? So Rav Moshe writes in a tshuva, where he thinks it's lav davki ishtei. It's anyone that you wouldn't have relations with in front, that's a mishamrasi. So Rav Moshe, in that tshuva, is kufa talking about a case of a daughter, where Rav Moshe says that is good enough. Rav Shechter had a story where he went to visit his grandmother. So his grandmother was there, so he writes in the piece, grandmother and grandson, that's okay. But he had a cousin there as well, a girl cousin. That's an issur yichud to be with your cousin. So he had a whole din back and forth. Is it okay for him to be him, his grandmother, and his cousin? So him and his grandmother are okay. But what about the cousin? So he said that afterwards he asked Rav Salavitchik said it's not a problem. Why? Because of this from a tshuva from Rav Moshe. This tshuva that Rav Moshe was talking about over there, he was talking about a daughter. But the same idea. Anytime one of the women in the equation is someone that you are also to be with, so that would be a misham rasa. So let's say it would be your daughter and her friend. So that would not be a problem of Yichud, even though it's technically one man with two women. So just to wrap up very, very bekitzer, mother, son, children, all those relatives are fine. Sister is fine, just not long term. Grandparents are fine without a problem. And the only the questions that do come up is with, let's say, an Eishes Ish would be an issue of a Deraisa. And Mitzvah Shem, next week I want to discuss how can we sometimes get around the problems of the Isser Yichud on a Deraisa level, and ultimately get to the question that I have been asked many times from different people, is escape the room, that's why it's called escape the room, is that pose a Yichud problem? That's a really interesting shaila that the young people need to know today, is escape the room, pose a Isser Yichud. But we'll see later on, next week's show, we're going to get to figure out how many common cases can really present a Yichud issue and how we can get around it.